Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. Numbers 6, verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, our Savior. Thank you, Lord, our Redeemer. Thank you, Lord, our Deliverer. Thank you, Lord, our Healer. Thank you, Lord, our Teacher. Thank you, Lord, for being everything in our life, for you are our everything, O Lord. Everything is created for you, in you, by you, and through you. And you are our everything, Lord. He is my everything. We just don't sing, O Lord. May you bless us that our life sings that song by actions, by words, by deeds. Lord, we invite thy presence to walk in the midst of us. Touch all of us, O Lord. Fill us, Lord, with your spirit. Fill us, Lord, with your goodness. Fill us, Lord, with the divine purpose that you want us to fulfill in our life. For we are all the parts of the word. We have a duty to fulfill. We have a part of the word, the manifestation to complete. Help us, Lord, to run the race. Help us, Lord, to do everything according to your will and pleasure. May you bless us, Lord, to please thy spirit today. Lord, be in the midst of us and surround us and help us to stand upon thee, the chief cornerstone, the foundation that is sure. And help us, Lord, to hide under thee, the strong tower. And help us, Lord, to be protected, shielded, surrounded by thee, the wall of fire. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for the family of God. Thank you, Lord, for the brothers and sisters, friends in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the fivefold ministries that we have blessed with in our life. You taught us, Lord. You showed us, Lord. You gave us the privilege, Lord, to be part of such a beautiful family of God. Lord, we thank you for all things in our lives, and we ask for thy mighty divine word to break into our heart and to bring forth the fruit of righteousness. We ask for thy grace and mercy to be upon all of us today. Be with us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. And all our weariness, all our pain, all our burdens, O Lord, we simply sit at thy feet and we start, O Lord, to anoint thy feet with whatever the best we have, with the sweet aroma of that beautiful oil that we have, O Lord. Help us, Lord, to rest in thy presence. May you clothe all of us today with the garment of praise, garment of salvation. May you help all of us, O Lord, to overcome, because we are the overcomers. Because of Christ, you have overcome all. We thank you, Lord. We ask for the Holy Spirit to fill the house, to fill our heart, to fill our life with thy goodness. In Jesus' name we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, above all, friends in Christ. Amen. Friends in Christ. The Lord has given us the privilege of fellowship, the ship upon which we are all sailing, not the membership as the world embrace. I'm a member of this society, I'm a member of this organization, this and that. But God's children, we don't have any such things called membership. We are rejoicing in the fellowship of God. For God decided that man should not be alone. And for that reason, we are all here standing, singing songs, dancing, rejoicing, sharing our pain and joy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. By God's grace, we have been learning from the high priest, the first one who started this ministry of priestlyhood on earth, by the grace of God, by the word of God, by the Spirit of God, Aaron. So what Aaron is telling all of us is sacrifice, standing in the gap, and doing the will of God, putting his life on the line. David going out of the city of peace, Jerusalem, for the battle against Philistines, Ammonites, or all those enemies, is still not that risky compared to Aaron putting on the garment that was specially made for him to enter into the holiest. Because the physical battle at the most can kill the body of David. But the spiritual presence of the Lord Almighty, the holiest, the holy chamber, the inner chamber of the Lord Almighty, the Lord told Aaron, you come in, you go out, and make the sound that shall come from thy garment, from your righteous deeds, from your actions, from your faith with acts. Let me hear the song of salvation. If that song is good, if you are singing to my tune, to my rhythm, to my spirit, to my leading, to my word, you shall come in, you shall go out, you shall not die. Amen. So the battle of Aaron is much more riskier than the battle of David. Because the Lord is mighty, deliverer is he, and he never lost a battle. Amen. So by God's grace, we are focusing on the garment of Aaron and the garment that was passed to his sons and his sons forever. And from there, we have been deeply meditating on what happened between Elisha, Naaman, Elisha, Gehazi, Gehazi, Naaman. It's a triangle. So Elisha at the top, Naaman on one side, Gehazi on one side. So there is a three different sets of communication happens, exchange of words happen. Elisha wants Naaman to be healed and Naaman to live a peaceful life. When Elisha said, go and be at peace. So Elisha wishes good. And Naaman came for healing. At first his flesh manifested. He was angry, he was wroth. But the servants of Naaman, they did not give up on their master. The servants of Naaman, they didn't think, who are we? Prophet Elisha spoke, if Naaman, our master, if he can't even listen to the words of Prophet Elisha, who are we? They did not think like that. All of them, on that ground, they had one thing in common. Created by God, for God, to do the will of God. So at that point of time, on that ground, Elisha spoke the word. It was supposed to be received by Naaman, but the servants of Naaman, they caught. They were able to catch what Elisha threw. And they caught what Elisha threw. Then they passed it to Naaman. We talk about pass the light, shine the light, spread the love. Let's look at how the Lord looks at all of us. When God speaks from his scripture, like how Elisha spoke from his heart by the Spirit of God, at first it did not go into the ears of Naaman because Naaman was angry. When you are angry, when you are sad, God's word can't go in. Your ears will be closed. It's like a gate. When you are stable, when you are content, when you are neutral, the Lord's word can go because it is plain. Water, air are the things compared to the Lord's work because no color, no favoritism, no partiality, no exaggeration, no compromise. It is as simple as it could be, as plain as it could be. Nothing but the Spirit of God. So because of the anger of Naaman, the doors are shut. But in that chapter, we are called to learn from the confidence the servants of Naaman had. Instead of thinking, we are nowhere near to Prophet Elisha, we are nowhere near to Naaman, but rather, they did the best they could for the glory of the Lord and for the good of his child, Naaman. They spoke the words of life. If they kept silent, we would read the chapter in a different way. Just because the parts of the word did not choose to be silent, they uttered the abundance of the heart, they spoke. It's very similar to you are walking and suddenly he saw in a high-rise building a man or woman who is preparing herself to jump. And you can look from the road. You know, if you shout, he or she can listen to you. But rather, if you simply choose to be silent, you say, Lord, I pray to you. Lord, speak to him. If the Lord wants to speak to him, he would have showed you in your dream. He would have showed that woman or man in your dream. But if the Lord allowed you to go in a close proximity where you can utter, where you can receive, which means the Lord wants you to speak. If not, you would not be put in that place, correct? That is exactly the discernment of the Spirit comes in our life. We have to take the word of God from the context where I am standing. What is the boundary of God? What is the purpose of God? Should I keep my meditation and prayers, or should I speak my love to my loved one? You know, I know some of my friends, because in 2009 and 8, I started studying psychology because of my seniors who committed suicide. They just hang just one room above my floor when I was studying in the hostel. I couldn't understand, because he was a bodybuilder of our university. He's like a strong man. We all look up to, because he's our team captain, this and that. But he committed suicide just like that. No police officers came. The whole hostel was a mess with journalists interviewing people who know him, this and that. And there are a lot of politics going on. But for a while, I could not understand why he did that. Then later, the investigation, they published a report that he had mental breakdown because of his parents and the woman he loved. Two reasons. The woman he loved and the parents who gave birth to him. On that day, he had some severe problem of betrayal. He wanted to call the parents to seek their comfort. And their parents, they were fighting in the house at that time because he was studying in hostel. And they cursed him in the phone without knowing what he is going through. On the same day, he also failed in the exam. And he was caught when he was trying to copy the exam paper from his, you know, from the student who was sitting next to by. So he had everything on that same day. He just went to the room and he hanged himself. So I could not, because at that time I could not understand how human mind works. One whom you think strong might be the weakest of all. One whom you think weak might be the strongest of all. Because the mind of human is not for you to see or measure, known only to him. So I started studying psychology, because that time I was not that much, in understanding, because I was very young, 18, 19 years old, I believe. Then, by God's grace, after I joined the youth ministry, we used to go to hospitals. The survivors who attempted suicide, but by God's grace they didn't die, to go and give counseling to them. I was doing it for more than 2 years, going hospital to hospital, village to village, to find out those who committed suicide, tried to commit suicide, but they didn't die. All of them, they had one thing in common. There was no one to tell them, I love you. There was no one to tell them, I'm here for you. There was no one to tell them, don't worry, come and lean on my shoulder and cry. They did not feel the sense of belonging in their lives. But the irony is, those who loved them, they didn't say, but they loved them truly. They would do anything for them. It's a complete misunderstanding. Complete misunderstanding, which took life. That is how the enemy plays. That is how the enemy plays. He don't love you. She don't love you. Don't tell your burden to him. Don't tell your burden to him. Because you know why? The enemy knows. The moment you share, you're delivered. The moment we share, I'm going through this. Can you go to some forest? Can you go to some room? Can you just pray? Can you sing a song? Gone. Everything is gone. Delivered. But the enemy knows what he will do. He will keep on whispering voices in our mind. Don't do it. You are strong. Don't do it. Keep it yourself. Don't do it. Don't do it. Once the reach of that limit hits the corner, when you hit the rock bottom, the mind, human mind will go crazy. Like how the dolphins find the shore to die, right? You know how sad it is? What do you think? What can we do, brother, as a church? Oh, of course we can do. We can break the stronghold by praying here. Believe in the name of the Lord. Every single soul dies in this land. If you believe, if I believe, we fast and pray, the Lord will save them. You don't have to know how. You don't have to know whom. All you have to do is believe. And that soul will walk into the door someday. Even if it doesn't, praise the Lord, he will walk into some other door. Praise the Lord. As long as the door is Jesus Christ, he is the door. So, this sense of belonging is what the enemy is trying to take it away from us. I belong to Jesus is your assurance, is your confidence, is your inheritance, is a privilege. Amen? And the enemy will come and say, you are a sinner. Don't sing. Don't say anything. Just keep silent. Just run away. Don't do anything. Why? Because the enemy knows the moment you do it, the Lord will do great things. And the enemy do not want you to do great things. But what Jesus said, I'm going, but I'll give a comforter to you. You will do greater works than me. Talk about servanthood. Let's learn from our leader. The leader says, I am your master. I am also your servant. Whatever I do, you will do better than me. Who will say that? Which king will say that? Which leader will say that? Everybody wants limelight. And the Lord says, I will wash your feet. Everybody wants reputation. The Lord says, I'll go naked for you. What a Lord we serve. Amen. What a Lord we serve. That soul burden was the reason I started disappearing into the love of God, 20 years ago. Because of seeing people dying, gold medalists, doctors, killing themselves, hurting themselves. My mind, was overwhelmed. Until the Lord granted me peace, I could not come out of the depression because I lost so much loved ones in my life. Not in the way of he was sick and died, no. In a tragic events. My friend went to take bath in the Marina Beach. He was a football player, a swimming champion. He died just 5 feet away from seashore. The sea took him inside. He couldn't escape. What can he say? Swimming champion. So what? The ocean took him. Our life is a vapor, as we read in the book of James. Literally, it's a vapor. But the Lord can say, I can make it into a flame. Which one we want? Vapor or flame? Flame can give you light, can give you warm. In cold, you will feel heat. In darkness, you will see light. It has two purposes. Experience, feeling. The light of the Lord has one more thing that the light of men cannot give. Experience. It can give you warm. You can take the same flame and go into the forest, take a big wood, create a big fire, and the beast will run away from you. Protection, shielding, covering, light, vision, warm, comforter. So, by God's grace, we are focusing on that Lord who came with the garment of light in front of his apostle John. And apostle John fell at his feet and said, Lord, I can't see you. You're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. I can't see you. You are coming in an unapproachable light. And he is the one whom we serve. And he appointed Aaron as a high priest to show all of us what the garment means. So the tabernacle was segregated into two, the holy place and the holiest. The holy place, he was allowed to go inside and offer sacrifices, but the holiest, he was allowed to enter only once in a year. Once in a year. See? Not about who will let, not about who runneth, but it's all about who sheweth mercy. The Lord was also testing the patience of how Brother Paul said today, the patience of all his servants throughout the time. Because in patience, it brings forth character. And what is the character? Jesus Christ. Conformed to his image. Imagine, he had only 3 years to walk and do all the ministry, but he was waiting for 30 years. He gave 1/10 of his life for ministry. So tithing is what? Our money? No. Tithing is a type and shadow of how the Lord performs in our life. He expects all of us to do at least 1/10 of what he has given us. At least, bare minimum. Like he gave us 10 commandments, expecting us to serve him, one. The only one. All the 9 commandments, all pointing to the first commandment. Amen? There is only one God. No other God. How do you know that? By keeping his commandments, by doing his commandments. So, Aaron, he steps into the scene when Moses failed. Let's start from there. Moses failed when Aaron stepped inside the scene. The journey became successful when both of them hugged. So, Moses did what the Lord wanted him to do. Aaron did everything else that God wanted him to do. Both of them, they literally carried the children of Israel on their shoulder and they pushed them out of the river of Jordan by whatever the Lord sent them with. So now that Aaron, when he died, what happened? The garment was passed to Eleazar. By who? By Moses. Amen? So that is where we went into Elisha, Naaman, Gehazi, because of the plague that the Lord put in his house, not in anyone's house. Because he take ownership in his house. He take accountability in his house. He won't do it in any other house. Because he knows that he is a landlord. He is a house owner. He can do any retrofit that he wants. Amen? So that Lord put a plague, and that plague is a type of leprosy. And that leprosy is seen as a disease coming from the defilement of touching the dead. From dead corpse, dead meat. It was believed to be, it's also a disease coming from the dead. By having interaction, touching the dead meat, something. Which is spiritually, speaking to all of us, never have communion with your old man who is supposed to be dead. Like that Lazarus body in the tomb forever. The spirit man was called up. The Lord says, come out, Lazarus, from your traditions, darkness, lack of understanding. Come out. And Lazarus came and his, whatever the garment that he was wrapped, the Lord told him, remove it. Like how the filthy garment of Joshua was removed by the angel of the Lord. And the angel said, remove the filthy garment, put him on the new garments. So Lazarus, also representing all of us, what the power of resurrection will do, and what the last Adam, the quickening spirit, will do, and what Lazarus needs to do. He has to live as a new man until he died. He died. So now, we will look at the generations of Aaron. The garments will keep on being passed. There are very important priests came, Jehoiada, in the time of Joash, who was against Athaliah, and after Jezebel, Ahab, they finished the journey of rebelling against Elijah. Elisha came into the scene. After Elisha died, Jehoiada came into the scene. You see the way the Lord replaces his equipment, his tools. He used a prophet, then he used a high priest. Jehoiada is a very important man of God. When kingdom went wrong, but the priest stood firm. Like how Uzziah went wrong and the chief priest stood firm and the king was thrown out, but the priest stood firm. The priesthood of God is more powerful than the kingdoms of the earth. The priest of God can dethrone the prince of the land. We can dethrone any prince of the land if we remain as the priest of God upon whom the Spirit of God resting. Nobody could do anything to the priest of God. That is what Aaron stands for. He did not step into a battle, but he was fighting a battle which my flesh could not see. His life was full of battle of mind, battle of sacrifice, battle of obedience, battle of submission, battle of sincerity, battle of commitment, battle of steadfast, immovable. He did everything. Once in a while, his flesh manifested, but the Lord was keep on pruning his branches. To the point whereby he successfully finished his race on the top of the mountain and he gave that inheritance to his son, Eleazar. Now, we will continue from there. Why Naaman was carrying 10 talent of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. Why? 10, 6, 10. But when Gehazi met Naaman, he asked him, give me 1 talent, 2 garments. Look at the numbers. Gehazi says, give me 1 talent, because you have 10, give me 1/10. As if Gehazi is forcing Naaman, give me tithing, 1/10, 1 silver. You have 20, you have 10 garments, give me 2. I don't want 1, I want 2. Why 2? Then Naaman says, be content. I will give you 2 talents of silver. But garments I'm not giving you. Because I need to have it as a memorial for me. That the Lord healed me. But Naaman says, no, I insist, I want 2. In the end, Gehazi,
He got 2 talents from Naaman and also 2 garments from Naaman. Let's look at the verse and we will continue today. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's look at the verse of the demands of Gehazi to Naaman and the response from Naaman to Gehazi. Verse 20 onwards. 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 20 to 27. Please read, Brother Clement, for me. 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 20 to 27.
But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Look, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian while not receiving from his hand what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him." So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me, saying, 'Indeed, just now, 2 young men of the sons of prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please, give them 1 talent of silver and 2 changes of garments.' So Naaman said, 'Please, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and handed them to 2 of his servants. And he carried them on ahead of him. When he came to the citadel, he took them from their hand and stored them away in the house. Then he let the men go, and they departed. Now he went in and stood before his master Elisha, said to him, 'Where did you go, Gehazi?' And he said, 'Your servant did not go anywhere.' Then he said to him, 'Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money, to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever.' And he went out from his presence leprous, as white as snow."
Amen. Thank you, brother. Now, let's look at what Gehazi asked. He asked for verse 22. He is asking, "My master has sent me." Did Prophet Elisha send him? No. Start with a lie. Start with a false proclamation. False announcing himself. That God sent me. God called me. God called me to do this. You could see this in the world today. Thousands of ministries, thousands of denominations, they say God called them. God sent us to come and deliver the people and change them gender to male to female and allow them to do all the fornication and spoil the entire earth. God sent all those people. So Gehazi says, "My master sent me." You know why? Because Naaman would not listen to him. If Gehazi says, "Give this to me," Naaman would say, "Who are you?" So Gehazi says, sneakingly, "Master sent me. Prophet Elisha, who healed you by God's grace, he sent me." So Gehazi starts with a brand name, a reputation, a name, so that he can have a garment that I am identified as the closest servant to Prophet Elisha. Remember my name. My name is Gehazi. Prophet Elisha sent me. My master sent me. And what God says in the prophetical books, they say that I have said that when I have not said that. It's called false prophecy, correct? What the false prophets would do? God said this, but God has never said that. Who is Elisha? Elisha is nothing but a cup, a vessel of prophecy. And how the words come? By the Spirit of God. So now, the way the conversation begins with a deception. "My master sent me." Because of that, Naaman is listening. Because Naaman holds honor, respect for Prophet Elisha. You see how deception begins in this world. People always say, "Jesus loves you. The Lord wants you to be this way. The Lord wants you to do this. My master sent me." And after that, "Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, 1 talent of silver and and two changes of garments, which means he's talking about two young men. He wants them to receive a talent each, two garments each, to those two young men, correct? The prophets. He's using some people as an excuse. He's using some names as an excuse. That because of them, we need this. Because Prophet Elisha sent me, in all this, me, Gehazi, is blameless. I have nothing to do with this. I wash my hand. Deception at its fullest. The name of Prophet Elisha is gone, and the two young prophets are also gone, and Gehazi wants what he wants. Starts with a lies and a deception. And Naaman said, "Be content, take two talents." And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags. Asked for one, but now he's getting two because he urged him. Two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants. So Gehazi had servants who would do what he says. So here what you have to do is, what we all have to see here is clearly, the servants of Naaman preserved the life of Naaman. But what happened to the servants of Gehazi? A blind leads another blind, both will fall into the ditch. Spiritually, lack of understanding, if it becomes a leadership, it will create followers of lack of understanding. They will all fall into the same ditch, same pit of sin and rebellion, doing everything against God. That is where the Lord, from where the Lord wants to deliver his children, from the captivity of falling down from the cliff. So now, these servants, they just obeyed whatever Gehazi said, and the two talents, two chains of garments laid upon the two servants, and they bare them before him. What a mockery, this one. Isaac was carrying all the woods, and Abraham told Isaac, "Carry these woods and everything because I'm going to sacrifice you." And Isaac carrying everything as the father said, obeying him in truth and in love. And he had two servants also carrying something, which the master cunningly, deceivingly took it from Naaman. And these servants, they bear the record of Gehazi. Two witnesses. Any matter will be established, two or more witnesses, good or bad. So Gehazi's judgment did not simply came out of nowhere. The Lord allowed two witnesses to be there, who can bear the record, not just a record. That filthiness that Gehazi committed, some people, they literally carried, and also in their mind, so that it can be reported later, when they were inquired. They can't escape from Prophet Elisha. Now, these two witnesses, they are coming, and when he came to the tower, not the strong tower, you see how spiritual, how deep it is. You could read the entire chapter in the good way. In the good way. The Lord bless us to carry the cross. We deny ourselves, carry our cross, and we do our job, keeping the word, doing his will, and we finish our race in his time, in his will, according to the leading of the Spirit, and we enter into his promised rest, and we find shelter in the strong tower of his name. And the two witnesses will come and prophesy, not just in the book of Revelation, but throughout the scripture, Moses, Aaron, Paul, Silas, Peter, John, the Lord always keeping all in two, amen? Two in one agreement. But here it is all happening opposite, exactly opposite. He is going to stand in front of Prophet Elisha, knowing not he will be judged. He thought he won't be judged. He thought he could escape. Why? Because of the thing that he said that he did next. What he did? He took those things. When he came to the tower, he took them from their hand. So the one who carried all this while is not Gehazi, is the two servants who were carrying all the things on their shoulder. Gehazi was walking like a boss. After they reached the destination, Gehazi says, "Unload all the burdens. You are released from your burden. I will take care of it from now. Give me your money. Give me everything I want. Just do the work of me. I will torture you like a slave. And after you finish my job, I will just let you go. Go." But you know, in this case, those two are nothing but captives or servants who simply do what the master says. Good or bad, that is not the focus. But the focus is what happened to Gehazi. My master sent me, and because of these two young prophets, I want this. And after all of this, now we reached a point whereby they
reached the tower, and Gehazi says, verse 24, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. So, he used them as a private taxi. The things are delivered in his house, and he sent them away. He hides certain things in his house. Then he go to Prophet Elisha as if he don't carry anything. Very similar to how the scripture tells all of us that Spirit examineth all things, searcheth all things, that there is no one can hide from his eye. Ananias could not hide from Peter. Peter could see. Now, the same way, Gehazi go and stand before Prophet Elisha. And the first question, Elisha says, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. Started with a lie, ended with a lie. One complete cycle. In between the cycle, he did everything. Not just that, he also influenced two more to be part of his mistake. Everything was full. Because you have to understand why he was cursed forever. It is very unique. You won't see this in scripture in all this, in a lot of scenarios. The Lord would judge them one by one. But when the Lord says, you will be a leper and your seeds forever, it means the Lord sets a pattern. If anyone fits into this pattern, this judgment will be applicable. Lord says, if anyone fits into the pattern of bringing two in agreement, dragging them to do all of this, forcing them to carry this filthiness, and taking advantage of them, having some bondage over them, using them for their own personal benefit, like what's going on today, all the denominational churches, they are playing with people's emotion, they are playing with people's pain, they are taking advantage of the ignorance of people. People don't know. You know, the Lord would not destroy the denominations. He would destroy those who created denominations. But those people who are ignorant, who are weak, who are captive, who are slaves, He would deliver them. For that reason, they are still exist. Or else we are destroyed. It exists because there is a redemption plan yet to be fulfilled. All of us, we were from some darkness. He did not destroy the darkness before because He saw the light in you. He wanted you to be delivered. Until Rahab is out, Jericho would not be destroyed. Until Lot is out, Sodom and Gomorrah would not be destroyed. Not even by themselves. Even if they want to, you know, bring fire and destroy, the Lord won't let them destroy because Rahab is inside. Lot is inside. That last sheep, as long as it is breathing, it is inside captivity, the Lord would not say it is done. It is still at work. And that is the purpose of us being called the ministry of Jesus Christ. Very focused. The only one reason He keeps the ministry alive is to save a soul. That's it. Everything else is focusing towards that. It's a pointer. Learning scripture, praying together, singing songs, it's for us to equip ourselves. But the ultimate goal is to save the soul for the name of the Lord. But when Gehazi compromised that part, instead of him being the evil one, also took two ones to be part of it, it becomes sowing discord among the brethren. Very similar to what the book of Proverbs says. Influencing, teaching a bad example, like Korah. When the bad examples are being taught, the Lord would put an end. Now, when Elisha says he is not exaggerating, what Elisha is telling is what Jesus said. He that hateth his brother, kill him in his heart. But what we would say, Lord, don't be too emotional. I was just angry for 3 seconds. What the Lord is telling is, given the circumstance, given the situation, if I change time, if I make you as a king, if I give a sword in your hand, if I make your friend or your brother to be in front of you, if you have all the power, all the tools, all the way to escape from law, you would have killed him in that 3 seconds. When the Lord says, he that hated his brother killed him in his heart, we cannot take it figuratively. The Lord says, I am the truth. I speak the truth. What I say is the truth. You would have done it. Because of the environment and situation of where you are, you couldn't do it. It's just you are unable to do it. The Lord bless us to be inside a cage so that we won't do some nasty things. Because of His mercy, we stay good. Because of his mercy, we are not murderers or liars or evil people. But the Lord still don't take any compromise. He says, he that hateth his brother killed him in his heart. That is what Prophet Elisha says here. Verse 26, read this here. I know, Gehazi, you only got 2 talents of silver, 2 garments, right? But Prophet Elisha did not stop there. Given the circumstance, if I die, if I'm not alive, you would have influenced the entire multitude of Israel and all the prophets. You would have built an empire of your false ministry, of your false, you know, deception. You would have made a kingdom of male servants, female servants, vineyards, olive yards. You would have done that, but I'm stopping you. The same way my God Almighty, when he saw the Tower of Babel, when he saw 2 in agreement, they were building a big Tower of Babel, the Lord says, not this, this is not good, he scattered them. And Prophet Elisha scattered what Gehazi could have done by making him to go leper forever. Now, that Gehazi would be thinking, you are a liar. I only got 2 talents, I only got 2 garments. But what Gehazi, what Prophet Elisha says, is it a time to receive money? And to receive garments, olive yards, vineyards, sheep, oxen, men servants, and maid servants. This is the focus of today's sermon. Why he said that, and why Elisha was able to say that, what experience made him to say that. He used the word sheep, oxen, men servants, female servants, vineyards, olive yards. A prophet is not figuratively speaking, he is not out of emotions. The Lord is with him. He is speaking what he experienced, and he is speaking what can go wrong. And we can see now. When the Lord says, you will be a leper forever, it means until I come and put an end to all this madness, when the grace period comes to an end, this falsehood will continue, polluting the pure form of word of God is keep on being compromised by false ministers who were never called. Gehazi was not called because Prophet Elisha never sent him. Because in the previous chapter, Prophet Elisha told Gehazi, go and place the staff on the child's face. So Gehazi would think, if I didn't run fast, if I didn't run fast to go and place the staff on the child's face, that child would have died. Look at my legs. What a runner I am. And the Lord says, it is not about who runneth. It is not about who willeth. It is all about who showeth mercy. The Lord did not show mercy until Prophet Elisha stepped in, until Prophet Elisha prayed. That child did not come to life. So, Gehazi was confounded in his own mind that why child is not awake? Because Prophet Elisha asked me help. Because Prophet Elisha could not run fast, I have to run fast. Which means Gehazi was thinking, maybe I am the enabler. I am the catalyst. I am someone very important. If not, without me, Prophet Elisha would feel one hand is gone. That confounding mindset made Gehazi to go wrong in the days to come. And the Lord had to wait until the iniquity was full, only then he judged him. Because he is not a man. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the spiritual wickedness of the high places. Gehazi is not a man that we want to learn. Gehazi is a type of the wickedness that God's children face today. Those who go and say, God called me as a prophet. Nowadays there are women apostles, right? There are women apostles. Come with lipstick, a cooling glass, with an electric metal guitar, and they say they're apostles. How come it all happened? That spirit of Jezebel is still alive. Ahab died. Jezebel died, but the spirit of Jezebel would not die. Athaliah came. Herodias came. Now, there are so many Herodias, so many Athaliahs, so many Jezebel. Why? Those spirits, those evil wickedness will come in different form, different name, but the type, the shadow would remain exactly the same in what you see in the Old Testament. When Jesus delivered the man who was possessed with the demonic spirits inside, they told him, Son of David, what we have with you? Send us into the swines. We will go and die. So what is the spirit? The spirit is longing to kill. It's a murderous spirit. It wants someone to die. If Jesus did not send that spirit into the swine, that man would have jumped from the cliff someday. But the Lord diverted. He kept the body and the soul of that man for his sake, and he led the spirits to go and fall from the cliff. That points to the book of Revelation. The lake of fire. Everything will be destroyed. Not about the flesh and blood. The Lord is all about types and shadows. So Prophet Elisha, you know why he's telling to Gehazi? Prophet Elisha, looking at Gehazi, I was in your position to my master Elijah. Correct? Elisha was in Gehazi's position when Elijah was alive. He was still alive. And Elijah was walking on the earth. Let me put that way. He had the same experience, but all in the spiritual realm. But Gehazi was given the same experience, all in the earthly realm, but he failed. So Elisha could understand what the Spirit of God can do that the man cannot do. He literally experienced it. That is where we start today. So remember this before you go into Elisha. Remember this. 10 talents was brought by Naaman of silver. 6,000 pieces of gold was also brought by Naaman. 10 changes of raiment was also brought by Naaman. This all he brought before he was healed. He thought the king would heal him. And the king was very angry. Am I a god? Then Elisha intervened. Naaman do not know that he's going to meet Elisha. He came to meet the king. Then this Naaman, this leprosy passed to Gehazi. It was called the leprosy of Naaman. And this Gehazi, he asked 1 talent. He got 2. He got 2 garments and he got 2 for the 2 young prophets in the name of those 2 young prophets. Correct? So remember these numbers. Now, let's read that verse so that we will go to the Elisha chapter, which is same chapter, chapter 5, verse 5. Just read only that verse, brother. Chapter 5, verse 5. Only that verse.
Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing.
Amen. Thank you, brother. 10, 6,000, and 10 changes of raiment. The very first sermon of this series on garment, the title was Change of Raiment. Amen. Change of raiment was the focus in the book of Zechariah when the garments of high priest Joshua was removed and the new garments was changed. It was called the change of raiment. Now Naaman, being a leprous man, he also carries 10 sets of garments so that he can change the garment until he reached the destination. He thinks because of his flesh, he may have to change the garment. So now let's take one step back. The Lord gave 10 commandments to the children of Israel in the wilderness. Why he gave 10 commandments? He could have said 7, 9, or 3, or 2, 1. Make it simplify, but it was 2 different tablets, very similar to these 2 different boards. 2 tablets, 10 commandments. And first commandment, Moses broke it because of anger. Second commandment, second time it was given to the people of Israel. But first time, failed. First time failed, which shows that there is victory only when you are willing to fail. Amen? So now, 10 commandments for the people of God to survive the wilderness, not from enemies, from God himself. Why? God knows I'm righteous, I'm almighty. These are my 10 prescriptions, 10 commandments. Follow this, that you won't die. Die from who? Die from me. Death from me. God of life and death. Amen? So the Lord says, I want to protect you. I want to watch over you. I want to shield you. I want all the promises to be fulfilled in you. Just follow these 10 commandments. So you are walking in the wilderness. You see suddenly a beautiful gold jewel in your neighbor's house. You want to steal. Then commandment come and hit your brain. No. This 10th commandment, don't steal. Then you put on the garment of that commandment. Lord, may you bless me to go through this temptation and escape. Then you walk. Suddenly you see people are worshipping some other god. You say, oh, this god name is so beautiful, very similar to my name. Let me worship. Then first commandment comes in. There is only 1 god. Don't worship anyone. Oh Lord, may you clothe me with your spirit. I escape from that sin. So those 10 commandments are 10 different shielding. Strong, like a strong tower, like an armor, to protect the people, to remind them, for them to remember what the Lord said for them to keep life. Changing your garment against your flesh, how your flesh manifests, like the leprous man, all the water and all the pain, he has to change the garment so that he can finish the journey and to go and meet the king. And that king could not heal him. But the king that whom we serve, he will heal us. So 10 commandments are the Lord's way of helping people to finish the journey. But Jesus Christ came and he told us, I know there are 10 commandments given in the Old Testament, but let me give you 2 great commandments. I'm sure you all remember that. Don't tell me you don't remember that. The 2 great commandments. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, everything. Okay? Then do the same thing for your brother and your sister and be prepared to do the same because there is no other love. There is only one love. And he bundled 2 into 1 and he did this on Calvary as one holy one. One mighty one. 10, 2, 1. Remember? 10, 2 in agreement. 1 for him. He said 2 because if there are 2 people, if there are no 2 people, how can I love someone to show, Lord, agape love is between you and me, and I'm able to show the same agape love to my brother. Then the Lord says, that's what I told God, that's what I told Adam. It is not good for a man to be alone. God said, let me have fellowship with you. The very first one who fellowship with Adam was God, not Eve. God was fellowshipping with Adam, man. Our first fellowship starts with our Creator. He had you in his mind even before you were born. Whom you are speaking to? No love in this world should replace the love of God. No, because he knows you even before you were born. He called your name. Predestination, we can't take it for granted. It still has the journey to finish. So the Lord showed us 10 commandments of old, 2 commandments of New Testament, and he showed everything on Calvary being the only one, Lord Almighty, our Savior, because there is only one Savior, one. Everything pointing to him. Amen? Everything pointing to him. So now that one, how he claims his throne, how he claims his bride, is what we study from Aaron, garment, David, crown. Because David passed his kingdom to Solomon. Aaron passed his garment to Eleazar. You may see, oh, only one single garment. It doesn't good. Look at David. Wow, big city. Temple, walls, mighty armies. David placed a crown on Solomon. If the Lord gives you a choice, choose one. What do you want? Aaron giving garment to Eleazar. David giving crown to Solomon. I pray that you all choose what Aaron gave to Eleazar. You know why? That garment will seal you, will guide you, will lead you, will make your life purposeful. But that crown will tempt you with the heaviness of power, authority, and the 1,000 women will be chasing you. Solomon, marry us, because of the attractive things around you. More riskier than that simple garment, which is more powerful than the throne of the kingdom. Because that priest can bring down the entire kingdom by praying because the Urim and Thummim is within. The judgment of God, the leading of God is within in the bread place. More powerful than the golden crown on your head. So, Gehazi did not realize the privilege that he had of being with Elisha. Judas did not realize the privilege that he had of being with Jesus. Now, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Let's read it from verse 1 to 11. Reclamant, from verse 1 to 11. Then after that, I will request again. Chapter 2 from verse 1 to 11. 2 Kings.
And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to pick up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to battle. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to battle. Now the sons of the prophets who were at battle came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today. And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. And they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophet who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he answered, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. And it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you? Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And so he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Please be seated. 11 verses of the Lord's way of doing things. Amen. And 11 verses of true discipleship. Amen. And 11 verses of true steadfastness. Amen. Not being selfish. The whole chapter may seem to be selfish, but Elisha wants something from Elijah, so he's following him. But my brethren, Elijah was not a king. He had no money. He's no one. He was hiding from Jezebel in the cave. The Lord fed him by ravens. But Elijah had something that no one had at that point of time. The anointing of the Holy One. And Elisha knows how to set his eyes on the author of salvation. And Elisha knows how to keep his eyes fixed on his Creator. And he also knows the only way that he would receive the blessing is from his master. Why? That is how the Lord plays his book. So, apart from the way the prophet from Jericho and Bethel were tempting Elisha, on the right, on the left, correct? Now let's remember Joshua, the leader of Israel, and the Lord told Joshua, don't turn to your right and don't turn to your left. Keep your eyes fixed on what I will fulfill in your life. Because God wants Joshua to carry the burden of Israel as he's going to take Moses. He took Moses. But he told Joshua, fear not, be courageous. For what? No enemies could prevail over the people of Israel. Then what do you mean by fear not? What do you mean by be courageous? So the Lord says, Joshua, fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Fear me and fear not anything. That's all you should do. And don't turn to the right. The prophets of Jericho will come and disturb you. Don't turn to the left. The prophets of Bethel will come and disturb you. Don't look up. Shimei will come and curse you. It happens to all the servants of God in the same pattern. Same pattern. Brook Kidron for David. The river of Jordan for Elisha and Elijah. Jesus Christ also passed through the same valley before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. So all they had the same pattern. Now, God told Joshua so that Moses, the work of Moses, will be completed because it is the work of God. And God is walking with them, leading them. And Moses tells the people, the Lord himself will cross the river of Jordan with you. Amen? Amen. That's what the promise Moses said. And now Elisha is standing at a very crucial time where Elijah is going to be taken by the Lord for a reason.
And Elisha is going to be tested left and right until he reaches the destination from where Elijah will be taken. He must run the race until the point. He cannot stop in between. If he stop in between, Elijah would simply walking. Like how the Lord called all of us, follow the ark. Amen? And the Lord's grace won't wait for anyone, but still he waits for all of us. He's gracious. The way he waits is not the way we can wait. That is complacency. That is why it is called the race. Not to hurt us, not to think too much, but rather to be led by the Spirit of God. So now Elijah is going. And Elijah keep on telling him, why are you doing this, this and that? Because Elijah is not acting, he can't lie. Elijah has reached a state of frustration. If you see the previous chapter, last Sunday we saw 50 people king sent, Elijah burned them. 50 people king sent, Elijah burned them. Third time 50 people the king sent, and the captain of 50 said, Elijah, he pleaded to Elijah, don't burn us. We understand you are a man of fire, but enough, don't burn us. We saw what happened to the 250 groups. Don't burn us. And Elijah went, and God, angel of God, told Elijah, don't be scared, just go with him. He went and spoke to the king, and the king died. Who is the king? Anyone remember? The son of Ahab. Who is Ahab? The beef between Elijah, Ahab, Jezebel is a big story that needs a whole new series. But the son who was killed, the king, was nothing but the son of Ahab, King Ahab. And you could see the anger and frustration, the pain that Elijah had when he burned those 250, because previously he was hiding in the cave because of Jezebel. Who? A prophet of God was hiding in the cave because of one woman. Then imagine the influence of that woman had in the kingdom. She died, but Athaliah came. The spirit continues. So Elijah, second chapter, the Lord tells Elijah, you have done everything for me. Don't suffer. Come, let's go home. The Bible says, chariot came like a whirlwind, take him to heaven. Amen. Heaven. Straight promotion. And verse 11 says, it came to pass as they still went on and talked. So they were walking and talking. No, walked or talked. They were walking, talking, fellowshipping. And behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. Let's look at the words very carefully. Chariot of fire. Horses of fire. But Gehazi simply saw the earthly chariot, earthly horse, and the earthly man, Naaman. Because for him, all he wanted was earthly things. He did not set his eyes on things above, but rather he set his eyes on things below. What you desire is what you would see. If you don't want to see the heavenly realm, you would never see that. If you don't want to see the spiritual realm, you would never see that. Because deep calleth from deep. What Elisha saw, Gehazi could not see. Because he didn't want it first. He did not want it at the first place. Correct? For him, he wanted garment and silver. Judas wanted 30 pieces of shekel. Fine, I'm good. What do you mean by comforter? I'm already comforted by 30 pieces of silver. Misplacing the heavenly riches would lead us into such painful journey to come back. So now, verse 11 says, chariot of fire, horses of fire, parted them both asunder, which means they were so close, walking together, cannot be separated, two in agreement, so much love, like Jonathan and David. They were so much in agreement, like Aaron and Moses. Like a double-edged sword which will pierce through your heart, intents and thoughts, bones and flesh, joints and marrows, it will split asunder. The same way the chariot of fire came in between Elijah and Elisha. Enough, farewell is about to come to an end. No, time to go. The flight won't wait. That chariot won't wait for anyone. And Elijah boarded the flight. So now, went up by a whirlwind into heaven. I want us to focus on the key words here. Chariot of fire, one chariot. Horses of fire, plural, not one horse. So, two or more horses. Let's say four horses, like horsemen. And whirlwind that took him into the heaven, correct? Yes. Now, from before you read from verse 12 to 15, please read 1 Kings chapter 19, 1 to 8. So that we go in parallel. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 to 8. I want us to look at this incident from the lens of Elijah and from the lens of Elisha, because they are two different flesh. They have been through their own experiences. What Elijah went through, Elisha did not go through. Hear me out. Elijah was the one who ran from Jezebel, correct? Not Elisha. So the pain and burden and valleys Elijah went through, Elisha can't say, I also went through the same. Because God wants all of us to carry our own cross. Now Elisha has a perspective of staying with Elijah until the Lord takes him home. And Elijah is leaving everything behind. He has been weary. He has been through pain and valleys, frustration and, you know, agony. Now he wants to finish the journey. But why it all came, we have to read 19 to understand the full picture before we continue. So please read from chapter 19, verse 1 to 13, brother. Verse 1 to 13.
And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Also, how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so, let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, by about this time.
He did.
And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Then he lay and slept under a broom tree. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you.
Too great.
So he arose and ate and drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And so he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then he said, go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire a small still voice. And so it was when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah?
What are you doing here, Elijah? The Lord asked him not just once, but several times. And in these 13 verses, we could see the desperation of Elijah in preserving his life, and the unfaithfulness and the fear of Elijah to run away from the woman, although he is the mighty prophet of the Lord Almighty. Because when the fear of men kicks in, the fear of God disappears. When the fear of God disappears, the knowledge and wisdom is also gone. When the knowledge and wisdom is gone, we will run and hide in a cave. But the Lord would want us to stand on the top of the hill as a lighthouse. As we sang, the last song that we sang, a lighthouse should be set upon the hill, not under the table. So now Elijah is hiding, but the Lord showed mercy. The Lord showed mercy. The Lord sent ravens to feed. The Lord took care of him. The Lord did everything for him. Because what Elijah went through, you did not go through. What Elijah went through, Elisha did not go through. known only to Him. The Lord knows the burden and the pain that He put on people for His name, for His glory. So now, the Lord's lesson here is what He told Joshua in the past. Fear not. As much, as simple it may sound, the Lord says, little fear can burn the entire assurance and confidence in you. Prophet Elijah, who was able to burn the 50 servants left and right just like that, he ran away from Jezebel because of the fear. Because he misplaced the fear of God with the fear of man, fear of woman. Now, this is the reason that Elijah went into a deep valley, deep painful journey. But the Lord pulled him out. But in this journey, he did something so beautiful, that is where we are focusing. Because verse 11 and verse 12, we read, verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Chariot of fire, horses of fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Earthquake, the Lord is not in the earthquake. There came a whirlwind, and the Lord was not in the whirlwind. Whatever you read in 19, you would see in 2 Kings chapter 2, how Elijah was taken. You see, verse 13, and it was so when Elijah heard it, when he heard a still small voice, when he heard that still small voice, he wrapped his face in his mantle. What? His mantle. The same mantle that fell from the chariot for Elisha to take. And that mantle was a hiding place for who? For Elijah. He wrapped himself in the mantle. Lazarus was also wrapped as a dead man by the people. Filthy clothing. When the Lord brought him to life from the tomb, he said, Lazarus, come out. He came and he told the people, remove that wrap covering around him. Remove the clothes. Put on the new clothes for him. When those shepherds were in the fields, when those three kings were informed to go and meet the Messiah, the king is born, and the baby was wrapped in a manger. Amen? And that baby, the Lord grew, anointed, baptized, took the ministry as a complete manifestation of God's word before he took the position of the glorious Jesus Christ. Because of the power of resurrection, when he died, he was also wrapped again. From dust you came, to dust you shall return. When he was a baby wrapped by some clothing, oh, baby is born. When he died, again he was wrapped. Oh, the man is died, the man is dead. Wrapped again, put into a tomb. So when they opened the tomb, he was not there. Only the what was covered him was there, but he was not there. Empty, empty tomb. So, the covering, wrap round me, I plead, the covering. So, Elijah found shelter in his mantle when he heard the still small voice. He wrapped himself to cover himself. That was the mantle not given to Elisha, but fell upon Elisha. Correct? Fell. Salvation, we did not earn it. The servanthood to Christ, we did not earn it. The Bible says, you shall obtain His grace that you may serve Him. The life that was hid in Christ, that was revealed to you. Not by you, but by the Spirit. Not by the one who runneth, not by the one who willeth, but by the one who sheweth mercy. The falling of that mantle on Elisha is the same of the falling of the salvation upon all our lives. It fell on us. He called us by name. He decided to save us. We did not find Him. He decided to save us. He had chosen purpose that you are mine. That gratefulness, that humbleness, Lord, this grace and mercy fell on me like a rain. I did not create it. I did not earn it. Help me to stay humiliated by your love. So, he took hold of his own garment and rent them in two pieces. That is the beautiful, beautiful, detailed description that I have ever seen in the scripture concerning deny yourself. He took hold of his own garments and tore it down, rent his garment into two, and took the mantle. You want to carry the cross? You want to serve the Lord? Take hold of your own garments, rent it, and say, Lord, clothe me with your spirit. He will clothe. Self-denial comes before discipleship comes. Self-denial comes before the Calvary begins. So, chapter 19, when Elijah is going through all of this, he says, verse 14, I will read. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left. This is where the Lord wanted Elijah to learn a lesson. Prophet God, I am the only sincere man, Lord. I am the only sincere prophet. Everybody has forsaken you. You know how burdened I am. I am so burdened. And when he said, I am the only left, he didn't say this once. Look at verse 10. Verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken their covenant, thrown down their altars, and slain their prophets with the sword, and I only am left. I am the only one left. Why are you repeating the same thing to the Lord Almighty, as if he don't remember? The Lord says, Samuel, Samuel, because you are in flesh, he won't call you twice. But we tell the Lord, Lord, this is my prayer request. Few seconds, I repeat the same thing, same prayer request. Praying in steadfast is different, but Elijah is not praying, he's complaining to the Lord. Exactly same complaint in verse 10 and also in verse 14, he repeated a few times, I am the only one left, I am the only one left. And the Lord says, this is exactly the root cause of your weariness. This is the root cause of your burden, root cause of your weariness. Let me open the veil in your eyes. Let me show you, you are not alone. And how he did that, miraculously, in a way that Elijah would never forget, he says, verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. Every time you read the word Damascus, one man should be remembered. Saul. Damascus, Saul. Jesus met Saul on his way back. Remember, Damascus, Saul, Jesus Christ having their first meeting, you know, for him to change. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be the king over Syria. The Lord did not worry too much about the state of Elijah. Because you know why? The anointing of the Lord is still strong upon Elijah because he is a child of God, prophet of God. God is with him. He feeds him with ravens. He is with him. He loves him. He says, it's okay. Go and anoint the king. But Elijah is not in the right frame of mind. But still the Lord says, you are mine. Go and anoint the king. But before Elijah leaves, the Lord made him to receive a beautiful lesson. How he did that? He says, and Jehu the son of Nimshi, verse 16, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel? So the Lord says, you have two kings to anoint, one over Syria, one over Israel. You are my one single prophet. Left and right, go and anoint the kings. Kings maker. And he says, Jehu the son of Nimshi shall thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah shall thou anoint to be a prophet in thy room. Room? Which room? He's hiding in the cave. Which room? And we sing the song, into the chamber. Which chamber? And we say, Lord, I bless your holy name in your court. Which court? Inner court or outer court? Which room? As if Elijah has a big branch of office, headquarters. He's running here and there. And the Lord says, anoint Elisha to be the prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. A wicked, wicked thing will escape from one king, but there is one more king will slay the wickedness. But if these two kings miss, don't worry, there is a prophet in whom my spirit is filling in, and he will speak. And he says, him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Samuel killed King Agag, not King Saul. That king escaped King Saul, but slain by Prophet Samuel. You don't look at this in a physical sense. Bring it back spiritual sense. Every wickedness, every stronghold, every bondage, every evil things, everything that is against God's children, the double-edged sword of the King of Kings will slay them down. The word of the Lord, by His kings, His saints, you and me, the children of God, the servants of God, the priesthood ministry of the Lord Almighty, the fivefold, the apostolic faith the Lord has given to all of us, as much as we shine the light, we speak the gospel, we spread the truth, it will keep destroying things, confusions, chaos, wickedness, it will keep on destroying all the fields of enemy. But whatever misses them, there cometh the prophets. They will prophesy. When they prophesy, no one can escape the sword. Kings listen to the counsel of the Lord, they do the work. But prophets, filled with the Spirit of God, they prophesy. When they prophesy, let it be as the Lord said. Book of Revelation, two witnesses come, they will prophesy left and right. Why? The Lord wants those words to be fulfilled. When they prophesy, no one can escape the double-edged sword. It will judge people to life and death. Amen? Life and death. Life and death. So, Prophet Elisha is seen as the Lord's way of continuing His speaking. A mouth of God. Voice of God. To continue to speak the words of life for the goodness of His children. For salvation of His children. All about life. And yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. What did you say, Elijah? Repeat again. Am I the only one left? I am the only one left. And the last Lord says, Are you warm enough? I am going to hit you to make you straight. The same way God sent Prophet Nathan. And Prophet Nathan said, David, I have a story for you. Nathan, tell the story. David says, good story. I understood. Let me judge who is wrong. Are you clear, David? Everything is okay? You understood the story? You know who is wrong? David says, yes, I know who is wrong. And Nathan says, you are the man. You judge yourself. You are the man. And now Prophet Elijah is receiving all the blessings, all the lessons, and the last for the Lord says, verse 18, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. What did he say, Elijah? You are the only one? Only one? 6,000 pieces of gold taken by Naaman. 10 talents of silver taken by Naaman. 10 chains of raiment taken by Naaman. But Elijah, one mantle. He thought he was alone. The Lord said, 7,000 standing for me. 7,000 standing for me. What do you mean by you are alone? No one is indispensable in the ministry of God. None. That is one. His name is Jesus Christ. Only one name is the reason we have scripture in our hands. Every one of us are bound part of that name. We have His name on our forehead. And the Lord taught a lesson to all of us. God is the Almighty, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Chief Apostle, the High Priest, the Prophet, everything. But yet He called all of us, you are my friends. And I will wash your feet. Can't understand. Lord, what are you doing? Your love, your light, honor, reverence, majesty, we sing that. Then you wash your feet. The Lord says, I will do anything for you. He says, I will do anything for you. Who will do that? Every time you feel painful because of something, remember, the one who created you, wash your feet. Wake up. We can do better things. Because He told us, you will do greater things for me. We can do. The love of God can surpass anything. The light of God can consume anything. The presence of God can heal anything, absolutely anything. It just, we don't believe it. We fear. What could happen? That is the spirit of Jezebel. What could happen? What if I go through this? That what if is telling the Lord, you are not faithful. Let there be no what if in our life, my brethren. The Lord says, let it be. That's it. Let there be light. Case closed. There is no what if. What if there is no light? Then He is the Almighty. When Elijah thought, I am the only one, he says, the Lord says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Why are you carrying alone? 7,000, they have not bowed their heads to their Baal. They haven't kissed the feet. Share with them. Stand with them. Serve me. Togetherness. Even Jesus could not be alone. Who we are? He could not even go to the Garden of Gethsemane alone. He was so scared of his own flesh. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. I want you to be with me. He seek fellowship. Togetherness. If Gehazi consulted with Prophet Elisha, he would not have done that mistake. Now what's happening? That became a type and shadow of all the falsehood ministries. People are destroying people. The Lord will only wait until He redeems His children. Once He redeemed them, that wickedness will be destroyed. And we don't want anyone to be destroyed. That is the soul burden that we should carry. Not the burden of what will happen to my soul. Do you hear me? What will happen to my soul is not the soul burden. What will happen to the souls in the land if I do nothing is the soul burden. Yet you are not a savior. So, this mantle, what you see from fell from chariot, is not something simple. It is the same mantle Elijah threw on Elisha when the Lord told him to meet him. That's the next chapter. But before that, let me show the three pictures, my brother. When Elijah was tasked by God to meet Elisha, Elijah was not in the right frame of mind. He is going through so many things, so much burden. So when the Lord told him, Elijah, throw his cloak, his mantle, New King James cloak, King James mantle, on Elisha, the moment Elisha felt that mantle fell on him, he started following him. Jesus told the disciples, come and follow me. They left everything at once and they followed him. Correct? Now, I prepared these three pictures so that everything is etched in our mind. So please go full screen. So I just took some pictures. Nothing is accurate, nothing is real. It's just an illustration for children, for new believers, for all of us to understand the words, fire. So Elijah is going, Elisha is going. He goes to Jericho, Elisha goes to Jericho. He goes to Bethel, Elisha goes to Bethel. Wherever you go, valley or mountain, darkness or light, pain or sorrow, life or destruction, I am not leaving you. Ittai told the same thing to David. Every true servant of God will speak the same. They will stand and die rather than run and live. Because God said there is no death for the children. So now this Elisha, he witnesses a mighty event of one servant of God taken by the chariot of fire, horses of fire. We can't imagine what kind of magnificent, you know, moment that could be. But I'm not concerned about all of that. My focus is, why the Lord used the word fire? Why chariot? Why horses? And when he saw horses. But when he spoke differently. You see, the verse says, and it came to pass, as they still went on, talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. He cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel. What? Chariot of Israel. Elisha says, same as Jesus, my God, why thou hast forsaken me on the cross? He's speaking differently. My father, the chariot of Israel. He carries Elijah into heaven. And the horsemen thereof. But verse 11 says only horses of fire. Now it says horsemen thereof. Who are those horsemen? Joshua says there are armed men who stand before the ark. Who are those armed men? Who are those priests? And he said he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into two pieces. That is the way for him to express his pain, his agony. No, he's crying. That the master whom he loved, taken, not died, taken. Because Elijah can't be killed. No one in the world can kill Elijah because the Spirit of God is resting upon him. Spiritually speaking, our body can die. That is an expiry date. But Elijah, taken by the chariot of fire. Now next one, please. Now look at the words. A simple picture to represent what happened when he saw and what happened after that. Because he had to take hold of his own garments to deny himself because he's crying, someone is taken. And after that, he took the mantle. Do you hear me? Jesus says, if anyone who has the desire to follow me, the first commandment, he said, let him deny himself, take up the cross, take up the mantle, then follow me. Then when you do that, the river of Jordan will open for you. If not, it will open. Now, Elijah, mantle, Elisha, chariot, fire, horses, whirlwind, heaven, praise the Lord, rent his clothes, took the mantle. If it didn't happen, all that Elisha saw meant nothing. Correct? Imagine, you say, I saw Prophet Elijah taken by the chariot of fire, I saw a horse of fire, everything is good. There was a mantle felt on the floor, it doesn't look costly to me. I was looking for the 10 talents of silver and 10 chains of raiment. That is simply a mantle, a cloak. I like gold, I like silver. I just left it there and I walked back. The entire event profited nothing. Elisha was put there for him to feel the love of God that he had for Elijah, and for Elisha to cry in pain, in burden, for him to rent his clothes. Then he took the mantle. I have seen this similar event in my life. When my grandfather died, I never saw my father rent his clothes. In my culture, it seems some rent their clothes. My father was very content, very strong, until he saw the dead body of my father, my father's father, my grandfather. He went crazy, he rent his clothes, he started crying, beating his chest. I never seen like that. I started crying by seeing him crying. Pain that is not that you premeditated, that is that just, bust forth. Now that love was key. Same as Jonathan who loved David truly. Same as Aaron who loved Moses truly. They hugged and kissed him. If there was no love, that servanthood is not possible to manifest. It is not the servanthood that is being carried forward. It is the love of God being carried by the servants of God, for the children of God, who will become the servants of God. It's a continuous process. Rent his clothes, took the mantle. Remember this. Rent his clothes, took the mantle. Deny yourself, live the life as a new man. Deny yourself. So now the last one, please. Third one. I love this picture. I thank the Lord for showing this to me. I don't know who made it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It looks like an oil painting. Very beautiful. Blur, not clear. I want it to be blur. Because it could be you sitting on the floor. And the Lord showed you mercy. He showed you grace. He showed you his salvation. He revealed his truth to you. And that purple robe, not the mantle, purple robe, that salvation, what he did on Calvary, it fell on you. He took all your iniquities upon him. Then he put on you. He ascended into heaven. He gave the comfort to you. When Elijah was taken, mantle fell. When Jesus was ascended, Holy Ghost fell on the apostles. Imagine if the Holy Ghost did not fall on the apostles. That mantle fell on all the Elishas. And those Elishas became like a prophets of God. If not, there is no church age 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We can forget about it. That mantle, the Holy Spirit of God, the comfort that fell on all of us, is the reason that we are who we are today. Look at the sequence. Aaron's garment was passed to Eleazar. I thank God. I prepared this and I found all of those, what I needed, in such a short span of time. Blessed be the name of the Lord, in the midnight. Garment was passed to his son Eleazar. Then from Eleazar, it was passed to Phinehas. Then goes on. Then there came Jehoiada, the high priest. But Jehoiada is the son of Aaron. Let me ask you, who is the mother of John the Baptist? Elizabeth. We have a beautiful princess playing here. Who is Elizabeth? Daughter of Aaron. So God simply chose people random? Elizabeth, daughter of Aaron. John the Baptist, pointing back to what Aaron did in the Old Testament. John the Baptist, he baptized people in the New Testament. He's a forerunner. Amen? Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 5. And Luke 1, verse 76. Please read it, in your own time. David passed the crown to Solomon. Elijah passed the mantle to Elisha. And Jesus granted salvation to you. And that salvation comes with the cloth of spirit, crown of glory, and the garment of the righteous deeds of saints. All in one. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, High Priest, Redeemer of Israel. May the Lord guide us. Aaron died, but the garment could not be destroyed. Elijah was taken, but the mantle was given. David died, but the crown was given to Solomon. Solomon died, given to other king. Passing on, keep on being passed. Jesus, he died on the cross, resurrected, and he gave the comforter for us to keep the salvation. Salvation is the Lord's gift to you, but you can't keep it without the Holy Ghost. Without the Spirit of God, you will drop it anytime. The Spirit of God is a true clothing that is covering all of us. We are not here to change, look for the raiment of men. That means nothing. We look for the raiment of God. Light, Spirit, life, and word. That is why we are called the word bride. We can't be clothed by anything other than the word of God. Amen. May the Lord guide us. We will continue next week. God bless you all. Shalom. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for touching our lives. Thank you, Lord, for changing our lives. Thank you, Lord, for washing our lives. And thank you, Lord, for making all of us to be who we are today. The builder of the mansions. The divine healer. The mighty deliverer. Lord, we pray that you touch our hearts today, O Lord. Without you, Lord, we cannot be filled with joy. Without you, Lord, we cannot be filled with peace. You are everything to us, Lord. Lord, we pray, may you bless us to learn from thy servants, to understand and to appreciate the beautiful way of your things, O Lord. How beautiful you are, how faithful you are. Help us, Lord, to be sincere. Help us, Lord, to be clothed with the garment of praises. The spirit of weariness can only be destroyed by the garment of praises. And the garment of praises is nothing but the garment of salvation. And the garment of salvation is nothing but the garment of the Holy Ghost. We are clothed by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is life. The Spirit of God is joy. The Spirit of God is peace. May the peace of God that surpasses all things, Lord, we pray, fill our hearts, O Lord. Rule our hearts, O Lord. You are the King in our heart. Help us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the beautiful family of God. May you bless us, Lord, to hold on to your joy. And to hold on to your light, and hold on to your word, and to finish our journey with joy and peace with our brethren. Because, O Lord, what we have is so beautiful beyond our mind could understand, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all, dear brethren. Praise the Lord. Shalom.